gosh, that's so altruistic of him. I shook my head. If he kills me, he'll have my death curse to contend with.
He has already contended with such curses, Kumori said, many times. I advise you to retire from the field.
I can't do that, I said. I know what you people are doing. I know about the Dark Hollow. I know why you're doing it.
And?
And I can't let that happen, I said. Insurance in Chicago is expensive enough without adding in a petulant new deity tearing up the real estate.
Our goals are not so different,
Kumori said.
Gravain and the Corpse Taker are madmen. They must be stopped.
From what I've seen of old Cowl, he's a couple of French fries short of a happy meal, too.
And you would do what? Kumori asked. Prevent them from reaping the bounty of the Dark Hollow? Take the power for yourself?
I want to make sure nobody takes it, I said. I don't particularly care how I get it done.
Truly?
She asked. I nodded. Now here's where I make you an offer. She hesitated, clearly taken off guard.
Very well.
Bail, I told her. Leave Cowl and the sociopath squad to their squabbling. Give me what information I need to stop them.
He'd kill me in a day, she said.
No, I told her. I'd take you to the White Council. I'd get you protection. She stared at me from within her hood, utterly silent. See, Kumori, you're sort of a puzzle, I said, because you're working with these necromancers. In fact, I'm willing to bet you aren't bad at necromancy yourself. But you went out of your way to save someone's life the other night, and that just doesn't jive with that crowd.
Doesn't it?
She said. No, they're killers. Good at it, but they're just killers. They wouldn't take a step out of their way to help someone else. But you went way the hell out of your way to help a stranger, and says that you aren't like them. She was silent for a moment more. Then she said,
Do you know why Cowl has made a study of necromancy, and why I have joined him?
No.
Because necromancy embraces the power of death, just as magic embraces the power of life. And as magic can be twisted and perverted to cruel and destructive ends, necromancy can be turned upon its nature as well. Death can be warded off, as I did for the wounded man that night. Life can be served by that dark power if one's will and purpose are strong.
Uh-huh, I said. You got involved with the darkest and most corruptive, insanity-causing forces in the universe so that you could jumpstart wounded bodies to life. She moved her hand, a sudden slashing motion.
No, no, you idiot. Don't you see the potential here, the possibility to end death?
End death?
You will die, she said. I will die. Cowl will die. Everyone now walking this tired old world knows but one solid, immutable fact. Their life will end. Yours, mine, everyone's.
Yeah, I said. That's why they call us mortals, because of the mortality.
Why?
She asked.
What? Why?
She repeated.
Why must we die?
Because that's the way it is, I said.
Why must that be the way it is?
She said.
Why must we all live with that pain of separation, with horrible grief, with rage and loss and sorrow and vengeance ruling the lives of every soul beneath the sky? What if we could change it?
Change it, I said, my skepticism clear in my voice. Change death.
Yes,
she said. Just poof. Make it go away.
What if we could?
She said.
Can you imagine what it would mean? If mere age would not lay mankind low after his 70, how much better would the world be? Can you imagine if Da Vinci had continued to live, to study, to paint, to invent? That the remarkable accomplishments of his lifetime could have continued through the centuries rather than dying in the dim past? Can you imagine going to see Beethoven in concert, taking a theology class taught by Martin Luther, attending a symposium hosted by Albert Einstein. Think, Dresden. It boggles the mind.
I thought about it, and she was right. Supposing, for half a second, that what she said might be possible, it would mean hell. It would change everything.